This episode of The Compendium is sponsored by Home & Brew, your source for handcrafted and exotic tabletop gaming gear. Welcome to The Compendium, a resource designed to help you spend less time learning D&D and more time actually playing.
Let's talk about initiative. So we have talked about some of the basic terms and ideas around combat when it comes to D&D, but now it's actually started. The adventure has begun, and initiative is basically the way that you help to create order and process into those 6 seconds, those stretched out 6 seconds of a combat round where everyone gets a turn. And so initiative basically is just a way of tracking who goes first and in what order. And initiative, surprisingly, is not a separate stat or skill. It's interesting because if you look at the character sheet, you'll see like your AC, your hit points, your initiative bonus, your proficiency bonus. It would make you think that erroneously that initiative is its own thing. Initiative is actually just a dexterity ability roll. Okay, so if you have a dexterity of 18, that means you have a +4. So you're just going to roll a d20 and add 4. Now, there's some things that can affect just your initiative, some feats and other things, but that's all that it is. And so it's really a dexterity-based ability check that tells you who goes in what order. An interesting side note is there is a feature of the Bard, unsurprisingly, called Jack of All Trades, which says that if you make an ability check and you don't already have proficiency applied to that check, you can add half your proficiency to it. So that means bards get to add half of their proficiency to their initiative roll as well.
Yeah, because it's just like it's based off of a ability.
Right, and it doesn't get a skill. Yeah, it's like its own skill. So they always get to do that. And if you use a tool like D&D Beyond, it'll actually apply that correctly, which is kind of fun. So yeah, that was kind of buck wild. So initiative. The DM will say, roll for initiative. And you know, it's about to go down. And some people will groan, some people will cheer, but everyone pulls out their D20, they roll, and then they start telling the numbers.
The cacophony of numbers as the DM.
Good Lord, yes.
Everyone's just shouting them out. Like, hold on, people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that Matthew Mercer from Critical Role, unsurprisingly, has a great way of doing that. And I do something very similar. What I say is 20 and above. And usually one, maybe two people or none will say me. And they'll tell me the number and I'll write it down. And then I'll just go 15 and above. And everyone chimes in 10 and above, 5 and above. And then if someone still hasn't said anything, I'm like, all right, man, what'd you get? They're all, we got a 2. I'm like, yep. And there's the paladin, folks. All right, awesome. So, and I like doing it that way because you're getting it in chunks. It goes way faster than, like you said, the cacophony. And I like to say, 10 or above, because I'll always have that one player who goes, oh, I got a 16. They didn't hear me. And I'm like, okay, good to know. So they didn't miss it and I have to go back. So I catch them pretty quick if they're not paying attention. So you lay those out. And then when it comes to the monsters, you roll for them as well. And
the DM. By the DM you, does. You mean the DM.
Right. I'm so used to being always the DM. Sorry. So
the forever DM trademark.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the only reason I play on Twitch is so I can be a player. The DM will roll for the monsters, and they're on the monster stat sheet. It'll tell you what their initiative, dexterity bonus is. Occasionally, they'll also have an initiative score. Some more martially based things will have that, but typically, you're just going to add the dex bonus like everyone else does. What's nice is that if you have just tons and tons of bad guys, you can roll one initiative for every type of bad guy. So if you have 4 hobgoblins, 3 goblins, and an orc, you're going to roll just 3 times. Once mm-hmm. for all the hobgoblins, once for all the goblins, and once for all the orcs. Now, there's multiple ways of doing initiative for monsters, but that's the recommended way in the Dungeon Master's Guide. And that makes it go really, really easy. And then you that way you're like, and now the monsters go, and you can just keep, you know, goblins as one spot in your kind of initiative order as you've written it down or on little cards or whatever you want to use. But then there's always the question of what happens in a tie, right? Have you ever had that happen to you?
Who has not had that happen to them?
Exactly. Now, in the book, in the Dungeon Master's Guide, it says the DM chooses, or the players can decide between themselves.
I thought, and I might have made this up, I thought I heard that it was the person with the higher modifier, but that's not officially in the DM handbook?
Correct. That is an easy way of deciding it so that people don't fight. Because some tables, there's people who are like really are jonesing to be first. It's like, you know, drivers in your city, you know, like road rage and stuff. But what the book actually says is that if a tie occurs, the DM decides the order among DM-controlled creatures. And the players decide the order among their tie creatures. The DM can also decide the order if the tie is between a monster and a player character. So one of the easiest things that people can you can do to help kind of mitigate any fighting or whatever is like what you said, and I've done this as well, is who has the higher dexterity. And one person will go 10, another person goes 17, and they're like, all right, you go first. And so now you just fixed it. They're just moving very, very, almost, you know, in tandem in that way. But for the purposes of keeping things on track and in order, you got to know which one's which.
Yeah, I have actually gotten to the point where I had two players tie their rolls and then their dex modifiers were exactly the same. And so they just rolled off. I had each of them roll again. And then the higher of those two rolls was the one that went first. It got very deep into it for something relatively basic, but you know, just make it work. If you're not sure exactly what to do or how to resolve that issue, just make it up and, you know, keep the game moving along. Nobody wants to stop the game because people can't decide who gets to go first.
Yeah, which is one of the main rules to remember as a DM. Keep everything moving. Just don't let stuff stop. If you don't know, make it up and refer back to secret rule zero of being a dungeon master. You're always right. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, usually, I mean, there's no right way or wrong way to track combat initiative. You're going to see something different at everybody's table. For a good while, I just had pieces of paper that I folded in half and I would just tent them over the top of my DM screen. Yep. Currently, I'm getting a new DM screen made that's going to have like an actual like kind of notch out of the center of it so I can set cards into it with those different names. I've seen clothespinned ones where there's a rod and people use clothespins with numbers or characters or monsters on them. So really, however it makes sense to the DM, usually it's done visibly to everybody. So that's not one of those things typically that only the DM sees, just because people need to be able to prepare for what they're going to do. So having that visual to the entire party, I think, is really beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. Like you said, so much of what the Dungeon Master does is behind the screen. This is one of the things that doesn't have to be. And so what I will say is there's a couple of things that you can do to make your life easier when it comes to tracking initiative. Like what you said, you like pieces of paper. I make little horseshoes out of Legos that are different colors, and I lay them on top of my Dungeon Master screen so they can slide, almost like an abacus. Mm. And so I'll move the colored kind of little horseshoe I've made, little loop, off from the left to the right on my side of the screen, and then keep moving it over bit by bit until I'm done at the bottom, and now I can start over and push them all over. The other thing to do is, especially while someone's deciding what to do, they're like, okay, so he's going to, that's when you can look at the next person initiative and go, hey, Caleb, you're next, be thinking. And they're like, oh, okay, yeah. And that really helps some people. And it helps remind you what's gonna happen next too, and keep things flowing. The other thing that you can do, especially if you have someone else at the table who's ever been a DM before, or you suspect might be a great dungeon master, but they need a little confidence, have them track initiative for you. Give them a piece of paper and a pen or a dry erase or something and say, hey, write this down. And they'll write it down and then they'll be the ones calling out, hey, here's who's next, here's who's next, here's who's next. It's okay to have an assistant in that way to help someone else take care of something so mundane as who has the next number in the order. And that can kind of free your brain and your hands and your words up to do the things that everyone else wants you to do.
Yeah, I will say a little DM tip that I found has worked really well for me with like the paper tent cards is I'll write the character's name on the front and on the back of it, which is the side only I can see, I'll put that character's AC, hit points, vulnerabilities, or resistances so that when I'm rolling, you know, for a monster or something and I know who they're attacking, I can just glance up and see, oh, their AC is this, they missed. So I don't have to be like, they did this, was that a hit, was it not? So it's kind of a nice little way to have a cheat sheet for myself with some of those numbers too. So you can use it to your advantage depending on how you get your setup.
Yeah, absolutely. Whatever you can do to make things run smoother and not get stopped, all for it, absolutely.
Thanks for tuning into the Compendium this week. I hope that you enjoyed listening into Jason and I's conversation. Make sure that you subscribe to the podcast if you haven't already done so, so that you're the first to know every time a new episode publishes. We push out content every Tuesday and Friday, unless you're a patron, in which case you get that content a day early. And if you want more information in between episodes, look us up on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. And you can find us by searching for The Compendium, and that is C-O-M-P-E-N-D-M. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you guys next time.